Go ahead.
All right, I'd like to call to order the January 3rd meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, do we have anyone by phone?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm sure you guys have had the opportunity of reviewing the agenda. Any comments, adds, deletions? Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that carries. As well, the minutes from the prior meeting, I personally didn't find anything, but anyone?
Yeah, I reviewed the minutes. I make a motion. We accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you. Okay. Public comments. We actually have a bigger audience than we typically have today, but I don't think there's anyone here from a public comment standpoint, but this would be the appropriate time if you have them. All right. Annually, we need to go through an election process for both the chair and the vice chair for this particular committee. We do that in January, so this would be the appropriate time to deal with that. So any comments?
Very quickly, I think there's an advantage of some continuity. I would make a motion you want to continue?
I do.
That our current chairman continues as chairperson. And I think we have to make a separate motion for vice chair.
Correct.
Okay. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
And I'll then make a second motion that our vice chair, assuming you want to continue.
Yes.
Okay. Continues for the next year.
I second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, Jeff. Thank you. Uh-huh. All righty. Moving into old business. We have a review and report on proposed text amendments for zones RA1 and RA3. Paren 15.10.040 and 15.20.040. And member Joe Barlock will be taking that topic.
Yes, I will. Let me just find my page. Okay, so this is follow-up on the discussion that we had last month for zones RA1 and RA3, where we did have some wording in the modification section where it allowed specific modifications to these two zones for lot size and building on the different small lot sizes. We also talked about in the past that this statement was removed from some of the other zone statements. So we looked at it, and in discussion with the building department, the determination was to take the wording out of all of the individual zone sections and to add it in one place at the end under nonconforming uses. So rather than have it in residential 1 but not residential 2 and residential 3 but not business, it's standardized now in the nonconforming section, so it does apply across the board throughout the town of Cary Beach. And you will see the wording on page 8 of 53 of your agenda. That would be section 1538-030, modifications to required lot area and required yard setbacks. And basically the item B, where it says front yard setbacks shall not be modified, rear yard setbacks shall not be modified, but then number 3 states the required side yard setback on every lot having less than 38 feet lot width may be reduced by 1/2 foot for each foot said lot is less than 40 feet in width. Provided further, however, that no side yard setback in this case shall be less than 3 feet in width. So that's the modification that's being allowed at statement number 3. So what I'm looking for here tonight is the review of this and approval to pass this on to the town council.
Just very quickly, when I look at this, the required side yard setback in every lot having less than 38 feet may be reduced by 1/2 foot for each foot. So this wouldn't even apply until somebody's at 38 feet, which if you're at 38 feet, it automatically means a 1 foot.
Mm-mm. Keep reading. for each foot lot is less than 40 feet in width.
Right.
So when it gets down to 39 feet, you subtract a half. When you get down to 38, you subtract another half, which is a full. Half a foot for each foot under 40.
Just a moment. I mean, by saying 38, I don't see anything that says 39. See, it's required for having less than 38. So, I mean, the way it reads right now, this wouldn't apply until you're 37 feet.
Yeah, so why wouldn't it be less than 40?
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
You know, you could change that and make it less than 40 feet, and I think that would be applied then.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I do agree with that. John yeah. Batson?
I'm trying to follow that again. Can you explain it one more time?
Yeah, let's say somebody's at 39 feet. This wouldn't apply. In fact, the way it reads right now, because it references having less than 38 feet, that's what then trigger this particular statement. Mm-hmm. So if you're at 39 feet, there's nothing that would trigger a reduction in the side yard setback. Even at 38 feet, it wouldn't, because this says less than 38.
So why have the 40 feet?
Yeah, so yeah. I suggest just change it to having less than 40 feet.
Okay. So that change.
Can somebody read me the precise language that you're agreeing
on? I would recommend the required side yard setback on every lot having less than 40 foot lot width may be reduced by one half.
Yeah. So it'd be 40 spelled out and then 40 in parent.
Right. Instead of 38.
And do we need to do anything with the rest of the provision?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's it.
So it should read the required side yard setback on every lot having less than 40 feet lot width may be reduced by one half foot for each foot. For each foot, said lot is less than 40 feet in width.
Correct. Correct.
A little awkward, but I guess it gets you there. Yeah. Okay. So when you motion to approve these and move them on to town council, you want to make sure that motion addresses that revision.
Okay.
And Jim, you'll be making that revision?
Okay.
Well, that's the end of my discussion, unless there are other questions.
No. All right, so...
I'll make a motion to recommend approval. How do we want to word this again?
You want a motion to approve the proposed text amendment and forward it on to town council for a legislative hearing.
Okay.
As
with the one change.
With the one change.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make such a motion.
A second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it carries.
The consistency statement also.
Yes.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the consistency statement with the one, if that's referenced.
It's not in there.
It's not in there. Then I'll just make a motion to approve the consistency statement.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. That passes as well. Alrighty, second item on old business. Review and report on proposed syntactical text amendments, part 2, KBC preface through chapter 4. And that's our attorney Eldridge.
There's not much that I need to say. We've looked at this 3 or 4 times already. What you've got in front of you is the what I call version 2, which incorporates the changes that the commission agreed upon last month, also addressed the gender-based references. I found a couple more that we did discuss, so I took care of those. I can't swear that I got every one, but I'm pretty comfortable with it. Your agenda, these syntactical text amendments start on page 13 of your agenda. I'm going to refer to my PDF number, but I did want to point out a couple of things. You can get that document in front of you. I took the liberty of making two other changes. My PDF page 12 should have topped the subsection B after being sworn in and read. Y'all have that?
What are we looking at again?
Start on page 13. Look at page 13 of the agenda. And you'll see the syntactical text amendments. Can you confirm when you're there?
Mm-hmm.
And now, don't use the agenda page numbers because I don't have them. Go to the PDF page number.
Right.
And go to page 12.
Yep.
The subsection B up there, when I was reading over it, seemed to read as if the mayor-elect could make all those appointments, but of course the mayor-elect cannot do that. Only the mayor can do that. So I tried to reword that to make it clear that the new mayor, after being sworn in, can make those appointments.
Makes sense to me.
Okay.
The other change I want to address, and I'm older than all of you, so I don't know if you remember Joseph McCarthy. On page 16, PDF 16, chapter 2.10.040, you'll see that the original provision, three lines up from the bottom, rules out anybody who's ever been a member of the Communist Party.
I showed you how old this
unless you override me with policy considerations, I recommend we strike that.
Wow.
And those are the only points that I care to make. I hope it's ready to go to town council.
I mean, that's a good catch to show you how old some of these sections are.
Or how old I am.
All right. Any discussion, guys?
Of course, yes, Jim. I have some discussion.
The pain.
No, I'm not.
All right.
I'm just making sure. On your page 5,
or PDF 5.
PDF 5, 104070, B, Bravo. I thought where it said council, we were going to add town council. Now, that's not, as far as I'm concerned, not necessary, but that was a comment that I had written down last time.
I don't have that note.
Council and town council are kind of the same, right? Everybody here agrees that?
Yeah.
All right, forget about that comment. Okay. All right, and let's go to page 13. Item F, third line from the bottom, has the word F. Not F. Item F has the word his.
I'm sorry, where are you?
Page 13, item F.
Near the top.
Third line from the bottom of F, right in the middle, says his. To strike that, it reads fine without his. The gender thing, yep. Because we can't have genders anymore. You got that, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Page 20. Item K. You crossed out board of, but not commissioners. Commissioners gets crossed out. Got it?
Sure.
Page 22, this is the last one I've got. 2.14.070. That should actually all be red because that statement was moved. It was in the incorrect numerical order and it was moved into the correct numerical order. So since the whole thing was moved, it should be red.
2.14.070?
Correct.
Do we need to make the header red as well, or just the
I would say the header also, because the whole thing was moved. It was out of place, and we fixed it. And that is my last comment.
Jim McCraig, anything?
No.
Well, last month, too, we had some discussion on, remember, the ACTS, the Privacy Committee.
Oh, shoot, I was going to do research on that. I actually did a little bit of research. And
I addressed that by putting as amended.
Okay. That's fine, yeah. In fact, I went home that very evening and spent about an hour doing some research on it. Didn't find anything significant. It was too big of an issue, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. So with the three minor changes, do we have a motion to move this forward?
I'll make a motion to approve and recommend sending this to council for review and approval.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Per the revision.
Per the revision.
Yes. And then we'll need it for a consistency statement as well.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the consistency statement.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Carries as well. All right. Thanks, Jim, for all your hard work on that. All righty. Under new business, we have a text application for Sombra Properties, LLC, Pren Aaron and Kelly Orlando, and a Pren at 125 South 3rd Avenue. And I think we have legal representation for a presentation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll turn it over to you.
Honorable members of the commission, my name is Steve Coggins, law firm of Boundary Lucy here in Wilmington. It's my pleasure to represent Summer Properties, which is an LLC that's owned by Aaron Orlando and his wife Kelly of St. Louis, who Aaron in particular has been coming down this way all his life and wishes vacation here. Is and helping to move here with us is his mother, Perry Orlando, who brought here, particularly as a very young boy, to come vacation and to enjoy and grow to love Curie Beach. And she is here instead because he is a pilot and was unable to change his flying schedule to be with us. But I'm so glad that Perry could join us here in an effort, as best as we know how to do, for them to be able to build a residence on the lot that they have historically owned, which is now vacant, in the B1 district, the town center. We're here essentially because of a rather tortured path that leads us to proposing this very narrow, extremely tailored text amendment, for which I want to thank personally your staff, Director of Planning John Batson, and working with my colleague, whom I've long known since moving here to this area about 20 years ago, Jim Eldridge, consulting him on the various ins and outs of your ordinances and the best way to approach this particular problem. We have this interesting thing here, and here, as you well know, I don't pretend to know the history, anything remotely like you members of the commission are, but let me tell you at least what I understand, which you've made available to us in writing. By going through your land use plan, a study that was conducted in 2007 and 2008 regarding the town center, that you have this wonderful historical area where businesses basically are almost solely located, with the exceptions of some in the B2, but there's also been residences there from the very beginning. And at some time in the town's history, zoning for B1 was arranged in the table of uses that residences of no type are allowed use in B1 town center, which renders then you have a bunch of a fair number of non-conforming, therefore, residences that are there. And there are some vacant lots that are, were historically where residences are located. I think the vision of the land use plan was to try to create conditions that were optimal for businesses to serve the residents and the vacationers at Curie Beach. And I think there were, perhaps there was a hope that one time every single lot there would probably be a thriving business. I think this commission knows that for decades, the economic conditions just simply haven't been optimal for that happening. And residences there continue to exist, continue to be used, continue to be renovated, continue to be rebuilt under the non-conformity ordinance. But through a rather tortured set of circumstances, my clients were not able to take advantage of the non-conforming ordinance. And so what is tendered before you is a very simple addition, a proposed subsection S, to the listed allowed uses for the B1 district. For the record, that's in section 15.2660. And that is simply one family dwellings. Read, not duplexes, not multifamily. One family dwellings, own lots, on which there were previous non-conforming residential uses. That language guarantees that the ratio of residences to businesses in that historical district where it historically has always been would not change. In other words, businesses would not be crowded out and that the ratio would not change. In fact, there's language in the 2006 land use plan, for instance, is that they didn't want that ratio to change where residences would take over the number of businesses that are within the business district and the use of those properties. This very narrow language we've got here guarantees that that won't happen. Well, if there is a vacant lot and one wants to build a single family residence on it, one would have to establish that there was a prior residential use on that particular property in order to be able to qualify to be able to build a single family residence. That's the only kind of residence that would be allowed, any new type of allowed. Again, not duplexes, not multifamily, not tourist lodges, that sort of thing. And think about the fact also that the entire town center, the entire B1 district, as they would have it, is also an overlay district. It's our district. One has to go through the certificate of appropriateness procedure that goes before the historical commission, which guarantees that whatever would be the single family residence that is built is consistent with and comports with the residences that we've all grown to know and love and be used to in Curie Beach. Why people come to Curie Beach in the first place? It's all unique character. It is a jewel, I think, in the beach towns along this coast. I do represent a number of beach towns, and I can tell you there is nothing like what Curie Beach has achieved with its residential character and its unique style and their exterior and whatnot. It's what draws people here. And so this is an opportunity for people who want to come to Curie Beach, live Curie Beach, to build something new and beautiful on land that is presently not being used, not achieving its highest and best use, and to everyone to be able to benefit from that kind of activity. With the help of your staff and your attorney, there's been a careful review of your plan and the studies that have taken, and so there was a rather involved consistency statement which I tendered to you for your review that basically establishes in law and in fact that the proposed amendment is consistent with the land use plan and is reasonable considering all the various factors that are set forth in your ordinances. I'm not sure that I can add with any great degree of clarity beyond what I've already stated, and I think it would be great to simply then open it up to any questions you may have.
Thank you. So the problems that you've had up to this point, is it the one-year limitation around the rebuild?
It was. It was a combination of a torture process that involved whether or not, in fact, more than 50% of the value was being renovated. Was there an appropriate CAMA permit for that and a town permit for that, in which involved stop work order. There was an intervention of Hurricane Isaias that then also made the things much more untenable at that location. It was, as I understand, this property that was there before, the structure that was there before, I'm not sure if it was a duplex or a triplex, or if it was a duplex that had an office. I don't know. I'm not sure what it was. But today, in the 50s, it was, I understand, military barracks. And you would know that much better than I would. But that was my understanding. And in the end, though, it was a probably in public interest that it be torn down. And it was. And at that point, then, more than 1 year had gone by. Mm-hmm. Given the fact that my client is located in St. Louis, is a very busy pilot in the air all the time. It was very difficult for him to manage that in a one-year lapse. We examined whether or not the approach perhaps should be as a text amendment to perhaps to the nonconformity ordinance. But as you know, the nonconformity ordinance applies to all the districts within the town, and I was sensitive to, for lack of a word, the law of unintended consequences from amending your nonconformity ordinance to try to adapt to this particular unique situation. We had a very narrow approach taken on what's all allowed use within D1, and it has to go through, you know, the historic commission review and whatnot to guarantee that things are kept in character with the town, and at the same time, though, not upsetting the balance between business and residences within that district, but keeping in effect your existing non-conforming ordinances that would apply to any other residence that happens to be there.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. And then, John, from a curiosity standpoint, I have personal experience with the non-conforming situation when you're dealing with a renovation. How does that apply when you're dealing with a previous property that's been torn down and you're starting over?
To our comparable. Non-conforming situation with buildings that were previously torn down are no longer an issue at that point because they're gone. So there's still, I think what the council is leaning towards is trying to justify putting a single family residence on the property since it was previously used as a residential property.
Mm-hmm. So, gotcha.
I don't know if I answered your question.
Not really, but that's okay. I got it. And so it has been established that your client currently owns the property?
Correct.
Okay.
And I had those deeds and whatnot with us if you want to continue into the record.
Okay. I've got kind of two comments and perhaps put them in the...
I'm so sorry. I neglected that. I also have aerial photographs and side photographs to tender to you to establish the historical use and how it's involved with the bigger property and the adjacent property. I'm happy to
tender
up to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've got kind of two issues, and they're somewhat related. You know, if you go back far enough, I was just pulling up some old photographs of Kira Beach, and probably a lot of the D1 at one time or another was residential. And so I'm a little bit concerned about just kind of a blanket at one time being residential, because if you go back far enough, you're going to find probably a good half of D1 being residential, if not more. And that, you know, just a very simple statement like this may open up for, you know, knocking down businesses and building residential because sometime in the past there have been residential. In addition, just calling something residential could apply that you could have boarding houses there, you could have had a variety of different things. And I'm a little concerned about that too as being the standard of which this would then trigger. So, you know, I'm kind of inclined to think more along the lines that if we're going to prove this, that it should be the most recent is residential use.
The most immediate prior.
The most immediate prior is being residential use. And if we're talking about single family, I would also consider maybe that the most recent prior use as a single-family use, you know, to kind of narrow it down versus what we have right there. I'm just throwing that out as concerns I have. I'm kind of concerned about this because of what we're trying to do with the downtown area. But, you know, those are kind of two red flags that I see.
Thanks. That's a good point.
John, just off the top of your head, would you have a rough idea in the B1 how many residents there are, mm-hmm. residential units?
I believe there's 11 single-family dwellings in the B1 district currently. Mm-hmm.
And then there's at least one other vacant lot.
Yeah.
And I should also point out that according to our non-conforming uses and ordinances, if you have a current single-family residence and you want to tear it down and build another larger one, you are allowed to do that by right.
And I'm assuming also that if the person put a house on there and decided to sell it, that a business could be put on there?
That's feasible, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
John, follow up to what you had just said prior. If they were to tear it down and rebuild, would they then have to apply everything from a conforming standpoint?
Would have to meet the requirements of the RA1 residential
yes.
district at that point, which is setback pretty much.
Okay.
There's currently a relatively new house right next door on the side of this property that we're talking about. Okay. Permitted in the last 10 or 12 years.
And John, I know we often put you on the spot, but we'd love to hear your perspective on this.
It definitely was the previous residential use, I can assure you of that. And I can give a little bit more history of what happened over the last 5 years since the Orlando's bought the property, but essentially it was in serious disrepair. Mr. Orlando wanted to bring it back to a new, improved version that he had some beautiful plans for. Unfortunately, the structures were in such disrepair that it just wasn't feasible. We couldn't even find an engineer that would actually certify on an existing foundation, which led for me to put the stop work order on it and revoke the permits that I had issued because there was no way forward with maintaining what was there. It was non-conforming in a variety of ways. And the biggest one was that you're only allowed to have one primary structure per property. There was three primary structures on this property. And so...
were there three residences or three structures?
Previously, there were three residences. One was only utilized as a residence for the last 20 or so years. The other two were in such disrepair that they were not used. Somewhere around 20 years.
Gotcha.
15.
Mm-hmm. So overall, you're supportive of moving in this direction?
I think it's worth investigating, yes, sir.
Now, you know, you are aware that this is also within the historic district.
Yes.
And that, you know, that there's an architectural review,
yes.
you know, related to this. Okay.
Yes. Which is, of course, an added feature of protection regarding whatever it is developed there is in keeping with the character of town, of the historic district.
So if this were to move forward, based on what John had just said, are there already plans that you would then be presenting to the Historical Preservation Commission?
We would be doing so, but of course we're hesitant to put those in final form pending any kind of
understood.
Approval.
Yes. Gotcha. So this is imminent. If you were able to get approval
yes.
to move forward, it's
yes.
it's going to be happening.
Yes.
Okay.
If we had out of our way, we already would have something there.
Okay.
Years ago.
John, I heard you say they would have to follow the RA1 setbacks. I guess that's in here somewhere.
That's in the non-conforming use paragraph.
Okay, because the setbacks in B1 are only 3 feet all around, so that wouldn't work. Okay.
I'm not saying that I think it's worth investigating. I think we need to probably do a little more research into it, make sure we've captured all the parameters that could be involved with other previous or still residential structures in the B1 district.
Okay.
Question. If we approve this item S, which it now makes it an allowed use, it's no longer going back to the non-conforming section because now it's allowed. so we don't go back to those setbacks in RA1.
My mind was racing as soon as you mentioned the previous question. So that's part of where I came from with my follow-up answer, that we need to do a little bit more research.
Okay.
You
okay.
guys feel like we need to move forward with this.
So you following that?
I am. Okay. I think what we're talking about perhaps is a modification of the wording to, for instance, make it clear that where the most immediate prior use is a residence, and that also that it would have to conform, that the residents would have to conform to, let's say, setbacks in the R1A, I believe.
RA1, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, would make it virtually identical in terms of the layout of the residence that's right next door to it.
Right, it makes perfect sense here. I'm just looking future when somebody else comes in and tries to use these words.
Looking at the North Carolina State study, we produced this graph that showed the color coding, what are the actual uses within B1 that shows what portions are residential and what portions are in fact business.
I thought that might, you might be you might find that interesting. Got this.
John, are you aware of any interest at all that you've heard over the last couple of years for businesses looking for property in the B1?
Very seldom do I get any requests for new buildings for business.
Where's that landlord is?
And usually it's not associated with one piece of property. In fact, most of the requests that I get have to do with existing businesses that have multiple pieces of property, and all they want to do is put condos and townhouses on.
Less work.
Not the way we want to go.
Right.
Well, that's why we have made this big effort over the last couple of years to do this, too. So. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but just to double check, you know, we have the overlay district. Going down okay. K Avenue, and this is not within the overlay district.
Not.
Right,
it's
almost in it, but not quite.
This is not in it.
Right,
the overlay district is K Avenue. This is down Third.
It's K going in one
right.
lot, I think.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
And this looks like it's about two or three.
Oh, it's way back.
You're talking about the mixed use overlay.
Yes, the mixed use.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. Are we talking about a double overlay in a bigger location?
No, we don't. It's not in it.
It's not applicable.
Yeah.
Right. You can see it from here, and I mean, here's the overlay.
Yeah.
And also, the mixed-use overlay starts at Third and goes to Seventh.
It does Third? Okay,
yeah, this
right.
is the other side of Third.
Okay, that's right, because it's a B1, so we have that opportunity. Okay, you're right. We in for discussion?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm forward as long as we make the kind of changes that I think we recommended, that the immediate prior use was residential, so people can't go back in history and find somebody camped out there
right.
in 1890,
mm-hmm.
and to make that argument.
And that we need to ensure that we're bringing in the RA1 standards.
Yes, and that would be the second requirement.
And because these are substantive changes that will alter what's going to be considered, so we're not in a position, I believe, to review and report to council. I think this ends up being a discussion, and we can review and report. You know, I don't want to delay matters, but it looks like the substantive changes are going to be made.
Right. So,
in other words, I take it what's been recommended is that we continue this matter again for further consideration, perhaps at your next meeting under old business. And consider revised language at that time for any recommendations to go to town council.
Yeah, I had envisioned this as we, when planning looks at a text amendment, the shorthand version we use is review and report council to consider the act. I had envisioned this as possibly being a review and report, particularly with your production of the proposed consistency statement. But I think the changes that we are contemplating are substantive enough that we should push that review report to next month.
We have no objection and welcome that.
You know, the one issue about the prior residential use is fairly straightforward, but when you start talking about applying another zoning district setback requirements to anything here, that is a little more significant, I think, to research.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess staff wants to look at that to make sure that that fits, but it simply, if whatever the end result is, it's simply a reference to the setbacks of that particular district. That the language isn't that complicated.
We've talked about setbacks, I understand that. Are there any other issues that would be relevant to this other than setbacks, do you think? Driveways, sidewalks, anything like that that would also be applicable to anything that we would want if we allow these type of residential?
I think that additional language referencing RA1A district
would cover that.
Okay. And I think I would be inclined to want to borrow as much as possible language from the non-conforming ordinance to go to reference anybody.
Right, but it's no longer non-conformance.
That's the
once we make
the scope of resolve is portable. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we know we have a couple things that we want to follow up on. Attorney Eldridge, given there's legal representation from a presentation standpoint, where do we want the burden here to make the changes?
Well, I think the applicant, through their attorney, will make those changes and bring it back at the Thursday.
I think it's fair to say that we're invested in my crafting some language that's acceptable to staff, to the town attorney, and for presentation again to the commission.
I would just add one more thing, too. And when you talk about prior, immediate prior, that it has to be documented, that there's got to be a documented immediate prior residential use.
So what would that documentation look
like? Well, that's what I started to think about.
I would hope that would be tender is a pretty good example of that. You know, that shows not going to be used, but going back to 1991.
Right.
And nothing intervening in between residential use going back to 93 with no intervening use beyond residential use.
Right.
You know, I would just put documented right now and kind of leave it open, I think. I think when you start defining document, it'd be photographs or a variety of different things possibly. But I think it does have to be documented.
My only suggestion is that we have it really pretty close agreement on what the language that you're looking for should be.
Well, I mean, I've been doing most of the talking. We have a couple other committee members.
I think you've given two pieces of that I think we have agreement on, right?
Yeah.
And then, John, is there anything else that you want to look into and potentially?
Not sure. I'm not certain. No, sir. I'm sure we'll discuss over the next couple of days.
Okay.
If I have anything else, I'm going to mention it to them.
Okay, so you'll provide that feedback directly to them?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect.
And John, I just want to suggest when you do look at that and the requirements in RA1, it may be easier just to pull them out and put them here rather than reference back to RA1. If it's only of a few of them, we don't want to reference one district to another district. That may be an option.
That may be more efficient, but you're talking about another set of text amendments, another legislative hearing. I mean, I don't know that we need to make this PTA, this text amendment, into two or three other text amendments.
So can you clarify that for us?
Reference the page number?
Attorney Eldridge, instead of just referencing, we're saying we just bring the language into this text amendment.
Into
right?
here.
Yeah, are you going to delete it? You wanted to delete it out of non-conforming.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Just rather than saying.
I misheard you. I thought you wanted to take it from one place and move it. You just want to
duplicate it. Correct. If it's, I mean, I don't want to do 20 pages.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's a paragraph, it may be easier.
I think we've got a pretty good roadmap vision board.
Okay.
I like to record show that at least once in my career, I suggested something that was too short.
You're not talking about the consistency.
I said at least one.
Yeah. So obviously you're hearing support, and we just have some work to do. So your expectation should be that we can get this finalized at our February meeting, And then it would have to then move on to council from there.
February 7th.
Agenda packets go out Monday before.
We're grateful for your time and attention.
Thank you. Very well done. All right. I did have one other item that I want to bring up that wasn't on the agenda, but was there anything else that you guys want to talk about at this point? I think as everybody's aware, John Batson is leaving his position sometime in the very near future. So I've just asked John to kind of give us a little bit of guidance around his specific departure and kind of what the game plan is going to be, you know, given that huge void that's being created.
Yeah, so my last day of the time period is going to be January 16th. It's my understanding that County Council plans to fill the vacancy at some point, but in the meantime, they're going to be utilizing the Monroe County Building Safety Department to handle building inspections, and that will continue in her position as your staff's support and doing code enforcement activities. That's all I really know of the plans right now.
Okay. And then, Beth, have you had much conversation on the topic at this point? And I think there's council work next week, is that right, Dennis, I believe, to finalize things with the county?
We're working to finalize things with the county. We are going to advertise for a replacement, but in the meantime, we will have to come to an arrangement with the county. John and I met this morning to talk about some issues that we think might arise working with the county. We're trying to resolve those. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be in a position of learning as we go, working with the county. We want to try to retain as much control over the process as possible without turning it over everything to the county. So we're still working through the process.
Okay.
How long do you think it might be before the position is advertised and filled?
No, we need to work on the job description.
Yeah, we have some more work to do.
It's not going to be an easy position.
So this will be our last one together then, right?
At least with me in this role.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been a long time. I certainly do appreciate your help.
Amazing.
You know, speaking for myself and the commission.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a great job.
Yeah. As I mentioned, it's a big void. And but we wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Bigger and bigger, better things, huh?
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right.
The only other thing I would add is that, you know, we will do interviews for the vacant positions.
Yes.
In February, right?
Yeah,
so we need to have that as an official agenda item.
Yeah, for just clarification purposes, we have four applicants for the two open planning and zoning positions. One of full-time member, one an alternate.
Five.
Six.
And, well,
six,
we had four, and then we had a new one today, right?
And another one. We're up to six.
Okay.
Up to six.
So,
new year.
Yeah. And so, but two of the applicants of the intended four one was going to be out of town, one was ill. So that was the reason for the postponement. And in the meantime, we've collected two more. So
now, are we going to do the standard sort of thing where
cars.
People are going to come? Okay, so they'll be notified and all that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, they're already notified. Scheduled to come.
Yep. So that'll take a big chunk of next month's meeting as well. All right. Anything else?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, everybody.
All right. We got a quick meeting, I think, here.